بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Back, if somebody comes in for the class, give them one of these, please. Okay, today, this is our 11th session. And our 11th hadith, reading from Arabic lessons in hadith for Mustawa Thalith, the third level, Islamic University of Medina Arabic program. Our hadith today is one of the more lengthy hadith from this course, and one of the three that are a little bit longer. However, there's a lot of repetition in this hadith, so yani, that should help us yani, to compensate for the length of it. It's a little bit easier since yani, there's so much repetition. As we will see in our discussion today, the wording in our book is a little bit different than what I've written on the board, and that's why I sent the email with the wording as it came from Bukhari. Yani, these two narrations came in Bukhari like this. Each of them have slightly different wording. The one that's closest to what we have in the book is the one I've written on the board. That's the one that's on the top of the paper. Or the email that I sent out actually only had this narration. Okay? So, I want you to pay attention as we go through this hadith to three things where there's a difference between what is in Bukhari and what is in our textbook. The first one is here where it says, ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The B here. The preposition be, yani, is not in our book. It's in all the narrations of Bukhari. The second place is after rising from ruku, ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا. In our book it has حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. Actually, تَعْتَدِلَ did come in Bukhari, but the narration in Bukhari that has تَعْتَدِلَ has ثُمَّ رَفَعْ رَأْسَكَ. Then raise up your head. حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. So, even though it had تَعْتَدِلَ, but it has some other wording that's also not in the book. The third place that differs from our book and the narration in Bukhari, all the narrations in Bukhari have this line at the end. In our book, it stops at, يعني, after the first prostration and sitting, the second prostration, ثُمْ مَسْجُدْ حَتَّى تَطْمَعِنَّ سَاجِدًا. And then it goes to the end, ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. But this line, يعني, then rise up until you are يعني, relaxed, calm, settled in the sitting position, is not mentioned in our book. The second sitting after the second prostration, all the narrations of Bukhari contain that sentence. So those are the three places that we want to pay attention to. And as we read through the hadith, inshallah, we'll look at it again. Okay, so let's look at the hadith on page 26. And as I'm reading from the book, I want to make note of the points that I just mentioned again, so you can see it in the place in the book. Okay, hadith number 11, al-hadith al-hadi ashara fi arkan as-salat, yani concerning the pillars of salat. The pillars of salat, we mean by that, in general, we mean those things that are essential to the prayer. Yani, without them, the prayer is invalid. As opposed to those things which are wajibat of the salat. Yani, which are obligatory, but if a person missed any of them, they can make sajda sahu, and the prayer is still valid. Or as opposed to those things which are sunan, yani, which are, yani, not obligatory, and not essential pillars, but they are the completion and the perfection of the prayer, sunan. And if a person left it out, then yani, they lose out on the perfection of the prayer and the reward of the prayer, yani, not being as full. However, the prayer is still valid. Okay, so what we're talking about here, we're talking about the arkan of the salat, those things which are essential to the prayer. If any one of them is left out, you can't make up for it. The prayer became invalid. You have to bring that, you have to perform that act, or the prayer is invalid. Okay? Unlike the wajibat or the sunnah. So this hadith, yani, and there's a long discussion concerning this hadith in some of the books of hadith and some of the books of fiqh, yani, which we definitely do not yani, have the ability to look at today, but maybe we'll look at a few points. Okay? So this hadith is an important hadith in terms of the salat, especially in reference to those things that are essential aspects of the prayer. And what is mentioned in this particular narration does not necessarily include everything that is a rukun of the salat. And also there are other narrations that may include some things that are not mentioned in this narration. So we have to keep that in mind, that it doesn't cover every single aspect that's a rukn of the salat, but it covers most of the essential things. Okay? So this hadith is concerning what? Arkan as-salat, the essential pillars of salat, that the prayer would be invalid without any one of them. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. In our book it has أن النبي and then it has صاد صاد. There's an extra صاد there. Please, يعني mark it out. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء ثم استقبل القبلة فكبر. Any three things. إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. If or when a person stands up intending to make prayer, literally stands up, the meaning here is إِذَا قُمْتَ إِذَا أَرَدْتَ. If you intended to pray. Okay, because you're not going to do this when you stand up to make prayer. When you stand up for the salat after the iqamah, you're not going to go and make wudu, right? You got to already make wudu. So the point here is when you stand up means إِذَا أَرَدْتَ. If you intended to pray. إِذَا نَوَّيْتَ. If you made intention to pray, niyya, then you have to أَصْبِغِ الْوُضُوء. Perform the ablution well and complete. أَصْبِغِ الْوُضُوء. And this is the fi'l amr. أَصْبِغ. The kasra is for, يعني, removing the التقاء الساكنين. فَأَصْبِغِ الْوُضُوءَ. يعني, perform the ablution well and complete it. ثم استقبل القبلة. Then you must face the Qibla. And this facing of the Qibla and the washing, yani purification for prayer, are from the shurut, preconditions of prayer. And there are also other preconditions, right? Like yani the time and having clean clothing free of any impurities and clean place and your body being clean and so on. There are other preconditions. These are two that are mentioned in this narration, and some of the narration is not even mentioned. In some narration, it just mentions from the beginning, kabbir, yani make takbir. But these are some of what has to be attended to, yani before the prayer can be valid. Before you even begin the prayer, you have to, yani purify yourself. فَأَسْبِغِ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَةَ. Then face the qibla. The qibla we mean by that, the direction of prayer. That is, facing towards Mecca. If you are in Mecca, then you should be facing towards the masjid. And if you are in the masjid, you should be facing the Kaaba itself. Okay, the Qibla. ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَةَ فَكَبِّرْ. Then, this is the command also, then say Allahu Akbar. Yani Allah is the greatest. After making takbir, we know that there are other things that are done from the sunnah, right? Like for example, opening supplication and things like this, right? But here we're talking about primarily the arkan of the salat, the essential pillars of the salat, that the salat is invalid without any one of them. فَكَبِّرْ. Yani, say Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ اقْرَ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Notice in our book there's no B, right? So this B came in all the narrations of Bukhari. In some of the other narrations, in Abu Dawud or Tirmidhi Ibn Majah, the B did not come. So if a person memorized without B, no problem. Those narrations are also sahih. The narration in Abu Dawud, the narration in Tirmidhi, the narration in Nasa'i, and the narration in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, Shaykh al-Albani declared all of them to be sahih. So those narrations are also acceptable, except that in Bukhari came with B. Huh? Faqra, thumma qra. يعني بما تيسر معك من القرآن. Then you should recite. يعني that which is easy with you of the Qur'an. يعني whatever is easy for you to recite from the Qur'an. What you have the ability to recite from the Qur'an. Some of the narrations that are authentic mention أم الكتاب. That then you must recite the mother of the book. Al-Fatiha. So even though here it's general, recite whatever is easy for you from the Qur'an, and some narrations specifically mention Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is a rukn of the salat. Unless a person is unable to recite it, unable to learn it. ثُمَّ رُكَعَ حَتَّى تَتْمَعِنَّ رَاكِعًا. Then bow until you are in a relaxed state. at ease, in a tranquil position. Yani until you rest, you settle in the position of ruku. Yani go into ruku and remain in that position until you are settled, at ease, at rest, calm in that position. Tuma'nina. ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. In our book, it has like this. ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. Then rise up until you are upright in the standing position. Until you are standing erect, straight, upright. In Bukhari, this word تَعْتَدِلَ came, but the wording in Bukhari that has تَعْتَدِلَ says ثُمَّ رَفَعْ رَأْسَكَ. Then raise up your head, رَأْسَكَ, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. Yani, in Bukhari, ثُمَّ رَفَعْ, it has ثُمَّ رَفَعْ رَأْسَكَ, your head, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. In the other narration of Bukhari, it just has this, حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, the way, yani, we have it on the board. The meaning is the same. Yani if you say ta'atadila, or you say tatma'inna, or you say tastawiya, all of those words came. Yani the way it came in our book, ta'atadila, and it also came tatma'inna, and it also came in Bukhari, tastawiya. Okay, but this narration with tastawiya is the closest to what came in our book, with the slight differences, okay? Otherwise, if you read it, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا, it's okay, except that in Bukhari it came, حَتَّى, يعني, ثُمَّ رَفَعَ رَأْسَكَ, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. طيب, then, rise up, يعني, or raise up your head until you are at ease, relaxed, standing erect, straight, in the standing position. ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا, then prostrate and remain in prostration until you are at ease, relaxed in the prostration position. ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا, then rise up until you are at ease, relaxed in the sitting position. ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا, then prostrate, yani a second prostration, until you are at ease or relaxed in the prostration position. And then in the book it says, ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا, then do that in the whole of your prayer. Rather, in all the narrations of Bukhari here, after the second prostration it says, ثُمَّ رَفَعْ, as we have here, then rise up, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ جَالِسًا, yani until you are at ease, relaxed in the sitting position. And in some of the narrations of Bukhari it has ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, then rise up until you are standing erect. Yani after the first rak'ah, you're standing up. ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا, then do that in the whole of your prayer. Okay, a couple of points I want to make quickly about this narration. Again, this narration, as I have it on the board, is one of the two wordings that came in Bukhari. It's closest to the one that we have in our book. But there are three, yani, variations in Bukhari that didn't come in our book. And one of them is when you stand up for Salat, then perform the ablution well, then face the Qibla, then say Allahu Akbar, then read whatever is easy for you from the Quran. In Bukhari's narrations, all of them have ثُمَّ اقْرَ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ, بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ, with B. And that's why I prefer this. However, in some of the other books of hadith, they didn't have B. They didn't have the preposition B. So if you recite it without B, if you memorize it like that, it's authentically reported like that also. It's okay. But in Bukhari, yani it came with B. The second place where there's a variation after reciting whatever is easy for you from the Quran, ثُمَّ رَكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا, then bow until you are relaxed, at ease in the bowing position. ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا. Yani, in the narration of Bukhari, in one of them, the one that we are using here, the one that I sent to you in the email, says, then rise up until you are upright, standing straight, erect in the standing position, tastawiya. In any case, if you say tastawiya or ta'atadila, the meaning is the same. Or as it came in Ibn Majah, in the end of our book it says, and in the narration of Ibn Majah, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا, also that is correct. Until you are at ease, at rest, in the standing position. But standing upright, erect, straight, standing up straight, not bent over, standing straight, relaxed in that position. Now, yani it didn't just come in Ibn Majah, but Ibn Majah is the one that it's his narration, yani differed from most of the other narrations in that he had rising up, he had tatma'inna. It's very important though, the narration of Ibn Majah is very important here, because tuma'anina, being at ease, yani relaxed, in each one of these positions is critical to the validity of the salah. So that Ibn Majah narrated that word, tatma'inna, even when you stand up from ruku. He narrated that, and that makes us to know that tuma'anina is also required in this position. So that narration is very important to us, because tuma'anina, being calm, at rest, at ease, in every position of the prayer, is necessary, essential for the validity of the prayer. And as we will see in the explanation of this hadith, we'll see that the Prophet ﷺ told this man, before he explained this manner of prayer, he told him, go back and pray. Irji fasalli fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray again, for you haven't prayed. Why is it that he haven't prayed? The scholar said, because he didn't pray with tuma'anina in the positions of the prayer. And he raced through the prayer, as most of the people do today. They don't stop in sajda, they don't stay in sajda, they don't pause between two prostrations. They don't pause when they rise up from ruku. Rather, they hasten to prostration as soon as they came up. And that's what that man was doing, the scholars of Sunnah say. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he explained to him how to pray, he didn't just tell him the things you have to do in the prayer, but he emphasized tuma'anina in sujood, in ruku, in between two prostrations, in rising from ruku, and so on. The importance of yani being relaxed and at ease, taking a pause in each position of the prayer and not hastily rushing through the prayer. Okay, the third point in this, in the narrations of Bukhari that's not in our book, is in our book in the last line, before it says, then do that in the whole of your prayer, it says then, yani prostrate, and then rise up from prostration until you're at ease in the sitting position, and then prostrate until you're at ease in the prostration position. And it doesn't mention this last line. Then rise up again until you are at ease in the sitting position, or as in some of the narrations, rise up in the narration in Bukhari also has rise up until you are standing upright, erect, standing up straight. Okay, these are the three points where there's some difference. In any case, as I said, if you memorize the hadith the way it came in the book, then that wording is from some of the books of Sunan. It's not the wording of Bukhari. This is the wording of Bukhari. There's another wording of Bukhari. I give both of them on the sheet here. You can see, yani, the difference between them are in the highlighted areas. The highlighted areas is where there's some difference. In any case, the exact wording of the hadith, if it came like this, or the way it is in the book, or in any of the Kutub of Sunan, all of them are sahih. All of them are correct. And the meaning is basically the same. Just some slight variation in the wording. Okay. Any question about any of the words in this hadith? Any word that's not clear? I know it's a long hadith, but keep in mind that there's a lot of repetition, right? After the first part of the hadith, if you stand up or when you intend to perform the salat, then أسبغ الوضوء, perform the wudu perfectly, completely, well done. ثم استقبل القبلة. يعني this is a command. Then you must face the direction of prayer. فَكَبِّرْ, this is also a command. Then say Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ اقْرَأ, then you must recite بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, yani whatever is easy for you to recite from the Qur'an. As I said in some of the narrations, it mentions أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, that is Al-Fatiha. You must recite Al-Fatiha. ثُمَّ اركَ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاقِيًا, then bow until you are relaxed and at ease in the bowing position. And don't hasten out of that position. ثم رفع حتى تستوي قائما, then rise up until you're standing upright, straight up, erect. In some of the narrations, in Ibn Majah says, حتى تطمئن, until you are calm and at rest. And in other narration that we have in our book, حتى تعتدل قائما, until you are standing straight, erect, upright. ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا, then prostrate. After you have stood upright and relaxed in that position, then prostrate. And stay in prostration until you are calm, at ease, and relaxed in the prostration position. ثم مرفع حتى تطمئن جالسا, then rise up until you are at ease in the sitting position, yani between two prostrations. Sit there for a while. Don't be hasty and going to the prostration again. ثم مسجد, then after that prostrate حتى تطمئن ساجدا, until you are at ease in the prostration position. And this line is added from all the narrations of Bukhari. ثم مرفع حتى تطمئن جالسا, and then rise up until you are at ease in the sitting position. Or حتى يعني تستوي قائما, until you rise up into the standing position. ثم افعل ذلك, and then do like this, يعني in all of the remaining parts of the prayer, in each rak'ah, في صلاتك كلها, and the whole of it. أخرجه السبعة, reported by the seven, meaning أحمد, البخاري and Muslim, and the four Sunan, Abu Dawood, and Nasai, Ibn Majah, and Tirmidhi. Let's leave Ibn Majah for last. In case we have to leave somebody out, we're going to leave Ibn Majah out. But we're not going to leave him out here, right? Because أخرجه السبعة واللفظ للبخاري, and the exact wording from Bukhari. And then we have here ولي ابن ماجه, and for Ibn Majah, there's the wording, yani after rising from ruku, حتى تطمئن قائما. حتى تطمئن قائما, yani when you rise up from ruku, remain in the standing position until you're calm and at ease in the standing position. Ahmed, Bukhari and Muslim, and the four Sunan. Okay, let's look at the vocabulary words and the meaning of the hadith and the benefits that are derived from it and the exercises. There's much to be said about this hadith, but for the sake of time, we'll try to see, yani, if we can comment, make a few comments at the end. Okay, on page 26 again, bottom of the page, ma'ani al-kalimat, the meaning of the words. We have the word in the first column, wa alaykum salam, and its meaning in the rest of the line. The first expression is أسبغ الوضوء. يعني the meaning of أسبغ is the past tense of the verb. أسبغ الوضوء, it means أتمه, that you completed it. وأحسنه, and you performed it well. The مضاري of أسبغ is يسبغ, يعني it's the fourth form of the ثلاثي مزيد. يعني أفعل يفعل, as in أسلم يسلم. أسبغ الوضوء, the مضارع is يسبغ, the أمر is أسبغ. نعم, as if you said to somebody, surrender to Allah, you say what? أسلم. أسلم يسلم, أسلم, أسبغ. Okay, the مصدر is not written here. The مصدر, please make a note, the مصدر from this verb is إسبغ. إصباغ, يعني حمزة written underneath the ألف, سين with سكون, باء with فتة and ألف and غين, إصباغ. Okay, I'll write it here, إصباغ. 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 Yeah, like Islam. From the same form, fourth form. Isbag, Islam. Okay, that's the masdar, isbag, performing something well, completely and perfectly. Okay, the next expression is istaqbala al-qiblata. This is the past tense of the verb. Istaqbala is the tenth form, istaf'ala, like istaghfara, yani seeking forgiveness, right? Istaqbala al-qiblata, it means tawajjaha ila al-ka'bati, to turn your face towards the Kaaba, the sacred house of Allah in Mecca. Istaqbala al-qibla, it means, istaqbala means to tawajjaha, to turn your face. Yani al-qibla meaning the Kaaba. Al-mudari of istaqbala is yastaqbilu, yastaqbilu. And the masdar is istiqbal, like istighfar, istiqbal. And the amra, by the way, the amra is not written here, is istaqbil, istaqbil. Okay, the amra you should write, the amra command form is istaqbil. Istaqbil, istaqbil. That's if you're telling somebody to face the qibla. Istaqbil al-qibla. Yani here it came in the command form. Yani thumma istaqbil al-qibla. The third word at the bottom of the page is kabbara. Kabbara. This is the second form of the thulathi mazid. Yani kabbara, kabbara like allama, to teach. Kabbara means qala Allahu akbar. It means that he said, yani kabbara. Past tense means that he said Allahu Akbar. The mudari is yukabbiru. Kabbara yukabbiru. Like allama yuallimu. The amra, the command form is kabbir. Kabbir. And the masdar is takbir. The masdar, the infinitive form is takbir. Turn to page 27, top of the page. The fourth expression is tayassara ash-shay'u. Tayassara is the past tense of the verb. Ash-shay'u is the fa'il. Tayassara ash-shay', it means, wa alaykum as-salam, kana sahlan. Tayassara ash-shay' means something was easy. Kana sahlan, it was easy. Tayassara. In our book it came, iqra مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, meaning read or recite. مَا here is الَّذِي مَوْصُولَ, read that which is تَيَسَّرَ سَهَل, whatever is easy. مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أي اقرأ مَا كَانَ سَهْلًا لَكَ, اقرأ مَا كَانَ سَهْلًا لَكَ, read that which was easy for you. أو مَا تَسْتَطِيعُ قِرَاءَتَهُ, or that which you are able to read or recite. And again, I'm going to note here that in some of the narrations, instead of yani just recite whatever is easy for you, it came, recite the mother of the book, Al-Fatiha, which is essential in the prayer, if a person is able to recite it. The next word, اِطْمَأَنَّ. اِطْمَأَنَّ. اِطْمَأَنَّ is from the mazid for the ruba'i verb, Al-Fi'la ruba'i. The four quadriliteral verbs, verbs that originally have four letters before there's any increase. And this is from the fi'l al-ruba'i al-mazid. Okay, itma'anna, it means sakana, wa thabata wa staqarra. Yani itma'anna means what? Sakana, to be still. To be still, no movement, calm. وَثَبَتَ, to remain firm. وَاسْتَقَرَّ, to be established, yani in your position. Or to be settled, to settle in that position. To be still, to be firm, and to be settled. Settle in that position. Don't be hastened to get out of it. Like, if you were to go someplace and settle down, that means you're not going to leave, right? When you get in town, you're not going to leave tomorrow. You're going to stay there for a while. So that's what you're going to do in each of the positions of prayer. You're going to settle down. That's the meaning of itma'anna. To be calm, to be still, to be firm, to be settled. The mudari of itma'anna is yatma'innu. And the masdar, the infinitive form, is itmi'nan. Yani from this ruba'i verb, the masdar is itmi'nan, but the word that's more commonly used is the ism masdar, which is a noun that has the meaning of the masdar, but it doesn't have a verb that it's the masdar for. And usually it has less letters than the masdar from the original verb, the original masdar from the verb. Okay, so the ism masdar that has the same meaning as itmi'nan is tuma'nina. Tuma'ninatun. Yani tuma'nina means to be calm, to be still, to be settled in your position. The last word that we are explaining here is i'tadala. This is the eighth form of the thulathi mazid, the eighth form. Yani ifta'ala. Like intadara, yantadiru, intadir, intidar. Naam. I'tadala, it means istaqama. Istaqama, to be upright. Yani to stand up straight. Istaqama. The mudari for i'tadala, ya'tadilu. Ya'tadilu. Like yantadiru. And the masdar, the infinitive form, is i'tidal. Like intidar. I'tidalun. The amr, the fi'l amr is not written here, is i'tadil. I'tadil. The amr is not written here. It should be i'tadil. I'tadil. Fi'l amr. Command form. Now. Wastaqarra means to be settled, to settle down. Naam, wastaqarra. Tayyib, after this we have the meaning of the words. Meaning of the words, after the explanation of these vocabulary words or expressions, we have ma'na al-hadith, the meaning of the hadith. Okay, the meaning of this hadith, I think it's clear, we already talked about it two or three times as we were reading through the hadith, but we'll just read through it. If there's any word here that's not clear, ask me, stop me. The meaning of the hadith, dakhala al-masjida rajulun. A man entered the masjid. Wa an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jalisun. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting. Fasalla raka'atayni. So the man performed two raka'ah, which suggests that it was voluntary prayer, or tahiyyat al-masjid. Fasalla raka'atayni. It says, lam muhsina huma. It should be lam yuhsin. Lam yuhsin huma. He didn't perform them well. Lam yuhsin. Yani from ahsana yuhsinu. Lam yuhsin huma. He didn't perform them well. Thumma sallama. Then he gave salam. Sallama ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, assalamu alaykum. Faradda alayhi. The Prophet responded to him. Wa alaykum salam. Rahmatullah, to whatever he said. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ. After the Prophet returned salam to him, he said to him, إِرُجِعْ. Return. فَصَلِّ. Then pray. Again. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Because you haven't prayed. Meaning what? Your prayer has not been accepted. It's invalid. Prayer is invalid. This is very important. Prayer is invalid. The Prophet told him, go back and pray again. Your prayer is invalid. So what happens if we pray like this man prayed? We didn't have tuma'anina in ruku, or in sujood, or in standing after ruku, or in sitting between two prostrations. Guess what? If the Prophet ﷺ saw us praying like that, like most of the people are praying today, he would have told them, irji fasalli fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray again. But instead, nobody is here to tell them, so they just prayed and prayed like that, and in the end, they're like the man that the Prophet ﷺ said prayed for 60 years, and not one of his prayers was accepted. Hadithun sahihun. He said, return and pray, for you haven't prayed. Raddada dhalika thalatha marratin. He repeated this three times. Wa kana ar-rajulu yu'idu as-salata aqiba kulli minha. Yani every time the Prophet said to him, the man would repeat the prayer. Go back and pray. He would pray again. After each time the Prophet said to him, go back and pray, for you haven't prayed, he went back and repeated the prayer. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ. At this point, the man said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. O Messenger of Allah, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا. I don't know if نَبِيًّا came in the actual hadith, but in any case, this is the meaning of it. I swear by the one who has sent you, has missioned you with the truth. Listen to the words that he said. The man didn't say, وَاللَّهِ. I swear by Allah. He said, I swear by the one, Allah, who has missioned you with the truth. Meaning, you are indeed a prophet. I have no doubt about it. So whatever you say, I'm going to follow it. I believe what you're saying. He's affirming that I believe what you're saying. But what? I swear by the one who said you were the truth. مَا أَحْسِنُ غَيْرَ هَذَا But I can't do any better than this. This is what I know. This is how I know how to pray. مَا أَحْسِنُ غَيْرَ هَذَا I cannot do better than this. فَعَلِّمْنِي So teach me. يعني how to pray properly. فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ So the Prophet said to him, مَا مَعْنَاهُ He said to him, that which its meaning is, إِنَّكَ إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الصَّلَاةِ يعني إِذَا كُمْتَ الصَّلَاةِ The meaning of it, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ If you intended, إِذَا نَوَّيْتَ If you make a niyyah to perform salat, فَأَحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ Then perform the wudu well. ثُمَّ تَوَجَّ إِلَى الْقِبْلَةِ Then face the direction of prayer. فَكَبِّرْ Then say Allahu Akbar. A takbiratul ihram. The first takbir of the salat, which is from the arkan of salat, as opposed to the other takbirs which are from wajibat of the salat. Wa alaykum salam. ثُمَّ اقْرَى مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ And then recite what is easy for you from the Qur'an. بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَ Why do we say بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَ? Because in some of the narrations, كما جاء في بعض الروايات the specific mention of أم الكتاب is mentioned meaning the obligation of reciting الفاتحة ثم ركع مطمئنا then bow يعني in a, and be in a state of while you're in a state of what? Calmness at ease ثم رفع من الركوع معتدلا مطمئنا then rise up from the bowing position مُعْتَدِلًا upright, مُتْمَئِنًا relaxed at ease and calm. ثُمْ مَسْجُدْ مُتْمَئِنًا and then prostrate until you are in a state يعني of being at ease, relaxed and calm. ثُمْ مَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ and by the way, يعني in the narrations in Bukhari said after prostration said then sit up again or stand up. ثُمْ مَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ and then do that in each rak'ah مِنْ صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا from the whole of your prayer. Any question about the wording here in this explanation of the meaning of this hadith? Naam.
Technical question, the word you said, rest of the takbirah wajib, is it sunnah or wajib?
The other takbirs are wajib, they're from the wajibat of the salat. Naam. The other takbirs for changing position are from wajibat of salat. In any case, this is a matter of fiqh, there's a lot of discussion about this, what's wajib, what's rukn, what's sunnah. The scholars are not in agreement. In each madhab, they may agree on some points of what is wajib and what is rukn, and they may differ on other points. So there's a lot of discussion about this, but what is more correct, wallahu a'lam, is that takbiratul ihram is a rukn of the salat, without it the salat is invalid, and the other takbirat are wajib. They are obligatory. You must pronounce them. ما يستفاد من الحديث من أحكام What may be derived of benefit from this hadith in terms of legal rulings. The first legal ruling, في الحديث شرطان. In this hadith, there are two preconditions, لصحة الصلاة. يعني preconditions for the validity of the prayer. If these preconditions are not fulfilled, and there are more besides these, but if they are not fulfilled, the prayer is invalid, no matter what you do in the prayer. These are preconditions. شرط لصحة الصلاة. هما الوضوء واستقبال القبلة and I would say rather than to say الوضوء we should say هما الطهارة يعني it's not وضوء that's a precondition rather طهارة is could be وضوء could be غسل depending on the condition of the person يرحمك الله but what's more precise is to say طهارة is from the preconditions of صلاة واستقبال القبلة and facing the قبلة and likewise the time has to be in for the صلاة and likewise person has to be covered properly, the awrah, and they have the body and the clothing and the place has to be free from any najis and so on. Second point, derived from this hadith, وَفِيهِ جُمْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَرْكَانِ الصَّلَاةِ أَلَّتِي لَا تُسْقَطْ عَمْدًا وَلَا سَحْوًا And also in this hadith are a number of the pillars of the salat, the essential elements of the salat, the prayer that cannot be let go, yani they cannot be dropped, intentionally nor forgetfully. Pillars, doesn't matter. You did it intentionally or forgetfully. If you leave it out, prayer is invalid. The pillars, they're essential. Yani wajib, if you left it, you can make sajda sahwa. Pillar, you can't. You have to bring it or the salah is invalid. Here he mentions from amongst those pillars, wahiyya and niyya. Yani niyya has not been mentioned in this hadith, but what is mentioned here, idha qumta, the meaning of it, idha aradta, idha nawaita. Yani if a person intend to salat. So from the pillars that are mentioned here, an-niyya, takbiratul ihram, ar-ruku, bowing, ar-rafa'a minhu, rising up from the ruku, as-sujood, prostration, and we'll add, it's also from the pillars of the salat, the rising up from the prostration. Rising up from the prostration is a pillar. You can't make the salat without rising up from prostration, yani in between the two prostrations. And likewise, from the pillars of the salat is sitting in between the two prostrations. Sitting, al-julus bayn as-sajdatayn, and then they mention al-i'tidal, yani being upright, and tuma'nina, being at rest, calm, at ease in each of the positions of the prayer. It's time for the adhan. Now, you have a question? Naam, salam too. Inshallah, I'll send some notes, inshallah, concerning some of the pillars and wajibat. But yes, salam also. If we have time, we'll comment on that. But, yani, as I said, I'll send some notes concerning this. But yes, there are other things, as I mentioned earlier, that not everything that is a pillar of the salah is mentioned in this hadith. Some of them mentioned other narrations and so on. But these are, most of what, are from the pillars of the salah. And we can add to this, as he said, walaykum salam, salam. Also from the pillars of the salah, and there's difference of opinion about some of these things, is performing all these acts in their order. The final tashahud, salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at least the first taslim or both of them, according to difference of opinion amongst the scholars. In any case, we might not have time to go into the detail. I'll send you the notes, inshallah, concerning this. Yeah, that's right. Yani according to, yani there's difference of opinion in the madahib though. I mean, they're not agreed upon that these are the pillars, but this is what Allahu A'lam appears to me to be what is more correct. After this, from the rulings derived from this hadith, number 3, wujub tuma'nina fi rafa'i min ar-ruku wal julus bayna sajdatayn. This is very important. From the ahkam derived from this hadith is the obligation of being calm, at rest and at ease in the rising from ruku. Yani when you rise up from ruku, you're supposed to stand there for a minute and not hasten to the prostration. And likewise, the sitting between two prostrations, you're supposed to sit for a minute and not hasten to the next prostration. These are very important places where tuma'anina have been abandoned by the masses of people. Number 4, wujub ta'lim as-salat wa ta'allumiha. Yani the obligation of teaching the prayer and learning it. Yani those who know must teach, and those who don't know need to learn. And number 5, yani we understand that from the hadith. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he saw the obligation to teach, he taught the man. And the man accepted it, he learned, right? And we should not wait until we have abandoned our prayers for 60 years before we realize we need to learn how to make salah. Number 5, mashru'iyyatu itmam al-wudu wa isbaghihi. Yani that it is legislated to complete and perfect the performance of ablution or purification for worship, and doing it thorough, doing it well. Okay, quickly we're going to look at some of the questions here in the remaining time, which is not much. Liman lafdhu hadha al-hadith. Whose expression or exact wording is this hadith? Naam. Al-lafdhu lil-Bukhari. And Ibn Majah also is mentioned at the end that he has, يعني حتى تطمئن قائما. Question number 2, اذكر أركان الصلاة المذكورة في هذا الحديث. What are the arkan of salat that are mentioned in this narration? First of them is hinted at. The first one is an-niyyah, that's hinted at. إذا قمت, إذا أردت, إذا نويت. The second one, that's a precondition. Tahara is a precondition. Shart. Takbir, takbiratul ihram. Second, ar-ruku is mentioned. After that, standing up from ruku. After that, prostration. After that?
Sitting between prostrations.
Okay, sitting between prostrations, naam. And sitting calmly in the in-between, naam. And also?
Tuma
Also ittidal, standing upright after ruku, and tuma'anina in the positions of the prayer. Yani these are the things that are mentioned in this narration. Number three, ذكر الحديث شرطين من شروط الصلاة ما هما. Yani this hadith mentions two of the preconditions for the salat. What are they? Al-wudu, ablution, and istiqbal al-qibla, facing the qibla. Number four, اذكر معاني الكلمات الآتية, mention the meanings of the following words. أسبغ. What is the meaning of أسبغ? أتمه. أسبغ الوضوء. أشياء أتمه. وأحسنه. وأحسنه. يعني to complete it and to do it well. What is the meaning of كبر? To say الله أكبر. اطمأن. To be calm, to be at rest. يعني سكن ثبت استقر. To be calm, to be at rest, to be firm, to be settled in that position. اعتدل استقامة. استقامة يعني to be upright, to be straight. نعم. Question number five. هاتي المضاري والأمر من the following words. The مضاري and the أمر. أسبغ يسبغ is the مضاري. أسبغ is the أمر. استقبل يستقبل the أمر. استقبل استقبل with كسرة. استقبل. كبر يكبر في الأمر. كبر. نعم. أسبغ يسبغ. أسبغ like أسلم. That's the master. يعني إسباغ. إسباغ يعني like إسلام. نعم. Question number six. استخرج من الحديث ما يلي. يعني derive, pull out or identify from this hadith what follows. جواب الشرط مقرنا مقرنا بالفاء. يعني the جواب الشرط that is accompanied by فاء. نعم. فكبر قبل هذا. إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء. فأسبغ الوضوء. If you stand up for that, then you must perform wudu ablution well. Number two, أربع أمثلة للحال. أربع أمثلة للحال. Where is the حال in this hadith? نعم. ها؟ جالسا راقيا ساجدا قائما. نعم. All of these are hal. All of these are hal. يعني describing the condition of the person at the time when they're doing a certain action. نعم. مثالين للفعل المضاري المنسوب بعد حتى. Two examples of the فعل المضاري, the present tense verb that became منسوب after حتى. ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن. نعم. Also حتى تستوي. Or in the book حتى تعتدل. نعم. Number seven. لماذا اقترن أسبغ يعني أسبغ الوضوء بالفاء. Why is it accompanied by فاء? Because it's the amr, that's part of it. The jawab, because it's jawab al-sharf talabi. When the jawab al-sharf is a talabi, is a what? What's a talabi? A amra, a nahi, or istifham. If the jawab al-sharf is a talab, talabi, then it's required to be accompanied by fa. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes remaining. I just want to address your question a little bit, Abu Bakr. Yani in the sharh of this hadith, in the sharh of Sahih Muslim, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions this hadith, and he mentions a number of points. I'm going to look through them quickly. He said in the narration, in one of the narrations, yani in one of the narrations of Sahih Muslim, it didn't have this complete wording, so he mentions that it has this wording. If you stand up for salat, then perform ablution well, face the qibla and say Allahu Akbar. This hadith, he says, is mujtamilun على فوائد كثيرة. It contains and consists many benefits. So the first of them know is that أنه محمول على بيان الواجبات دون السنن. يعني that this is a clarification of the things that are obligatory in the prayer, not the mention of every sunnah. يعني rather, in reality, it's a clarification of the arkan of the salat. In any case, the point he's saying is the sunan are not mentioned here, but it doesn't mean that they are not important. So if it is said it didn't mention it, all of the wajibat, then we say baqiya wajibat mujtama alayha wa mukhtalif fiha, that there are some obligatory duties in the salat that are agreed upon, that they are obligatory, and some where there's difference. And that's the point, that in the different madhahib they don't agree on everything that's a rukn or that's a wajib or that is whatever, they are not agreed upon. But in any case, he said there are still some things that are not mentioned in this hadith that are agreed upon by ijma' that they are obligatory in the salat, and some that some scholars say are and others differ with them. So he said from those that are mujma' alayhi is the niyya, and it's not really mentioned directly, but it's yani hinted at in this hadith. And also the sitting for tashahud al-akhir, the sitting for the last tashahud, and tartib al-arkan, the performing of each of these things in their order. From those that there is difference about is the tashahud al-akhir. Yani there's difference of opinion about it. The correct opinion is that it is obligatory. The salat ala nabi, the correct opinion is that it's obligatory, or that is from the arkan of the salat. And also, as he mentioned, the salam, taslim, yani is also from the necessities, yani essential elements of the salat. And these last three, the tashahud al-akhir, salat ala nabi, and salam or taslim, these last three are considered to be wajib by al-imam al-shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Quickly, he mentions that also the salam, according to the jumhur, majority of scholars, is wajib. And the tashahud, according to many of the scholars, is wajib. And there's sometimes a distinction between the first tashahud and the second tashahud, and so on. This is from the fiqh that we don't have time to discuss. And also, he says that some of the scholars also considered salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are in agreement with Imam al-Shafi'i. From amongst them who agree that it is obligatory is a Sha'bi and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and their students and followers. And also a large group of scholars said that it's obligatory, yani from amongst the students of al-Shafi'i and others, said that it is also obligatory to have niyya, niyatul khuruj min as-salat, that a person should intend to end the prayer when they are finishing. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said that the tashahud is obligatory. And this is just a quick mention of some of the points, and there are a lot of other points that we don't have time to mention. But I just want to mention one point of great importance. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says concerning yani this hadith, he makes a point after mentioning a number of other things. He said, it is amazing that some of the human beings, how they are played with, how the shaitan plays with them while they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are having intimate conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. And they are seeking nearness to Allah with speech and praising Him and supplicating to Him. And then, كَأَنَّهُ مَلْحُوق فِي صَلَاتِهِ كَأَنَّ عَدُوًا لَاحِقَ لَهُ فَتَرَاهُ يَحْرُبْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ لِمَاذَا. Yani while the person is in this position of communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him and glorifying Him and supplicating to Him and reciting His book, it is as though they are overcome in their salat. It is as though an enemy has overcome them. And then you see them fleeing from the salat. Did you ever notice how many people quickly, when the salat is over, jump up and race to the nearest door to get out of here? Yani, what are you running from? You are in communion with your Rabb. Yani, this should be something that a person wants to remain in. He said, it is amazing the condition of the people, while if they were standing in front of a king from the kings of this world, speaking with him intimately, privately, personally, a king addressing them, they are addressing him, he said, even if they had stood there for 2 hours talking with the king, it would be easy for them to stand there. They would not be hastening to leave. Even if they were standing on their feet and they weren't even sitting, they would be happy to remain longer and longer. But when they're in salat, they are running from it. And the Shaykh also makes another point here. Naam, they will ask whatever they want. The wajib is for the human being is to have tuma'anina in the salat. And this tuma'anina should appear, should be present in all of their actions of the prayer, and likewise in all of their speech in the prayer. And the Shaykh closes with this mas'ala, and this is the end of our time. He said, what is the hukum of the person who doesn't establish the prayer? Yani the answer to this is that we say, the one who hasn't established the prayer in its most perfect form, على وجه الكمال, يعني meaning that they have some defects and some of the things that take away from the perfection of their salat, then this person has been denied the greater reward which they could achieve with the perfection of the salat. However, yani we don't say that they are sinful, they have lost out on the reward. For example, if a person just says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim one time in ruku, but while they have at least yani some calmness to ma'anina, then that's sufficient. However, they will be denied the extra reward that they would get if they had said it three times. As far as the one who doesn't establish the prayer at all, yani meaning that this person has taraka as-salat bil-kulliyah, yani they abandon salat, fahada kafir murtad an al-islam kufran mukhrijan an al-millah. The person who doesn't pray, this is very serious, because there are plenty of people who say they are Muslims, they are not performing salat. The Shaykh said, as for the person who has some defect in their salat, they lost out on the reward of perfection. As far as the person who has abandoned the salat completely, فَهَذَا كَافِرٌ, this person is a disbeliever, مُرْتَدْ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, an apostate from Islam, كُفْرًا مُخْرِجًا, مُخْرِجًا عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ, يعني this is a person who has gone out of the circle of Islam completely. We're going to stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
When a person who abandoned prayer come back, he has to take the shahada.
They should take shahada if they are kafir, right? They are kafir.